Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White. We've got two fabulous guests in the studio with us today, as always, and I'll get to them in a minute if I can, gentlemen. But there's a little bit of news and events that I'd like to read out before we do that. You can follow us, by the way, on X. I still say Twitter, but I suppose I'll get into trouble for doing that. We're at Kent_Biz on X if you'd like to follow us. We have a dedicated LinkedIn, a Facebook page as well, BizConnect, a radio show. You can find us there. And, of course, we have a website, kentbizconnect.co.uk, where we've got information about our forthcoming guests. You can listen to previous shows as well. If you're an Ashford-based business, we'd love to get you on the show. If you've got an interesting story to tell and you'd like to appear on the show, then please do get in touch with us via one of our social media channels. We've got a week of packed events, as always, in the business community in Kent as well, that I'd like to kind of share a couple with you if I can. On Wednesday at Discovery Park, I shall be hosting, in conjunction with Barclays, a sustainability networking breakfast that runs from 8 till 10 in the morning. So there's a free breakfast on offer, and we also have a couple of fabulous guest speakers. We have a firm of architects who are building a new development that straddles the A2 between folks between Canterbury and Faversham. And we also have a local organic farmer, actually from near Ashford, who's going to be talking about regenerative agriculture as well. So lots of networking opportunities there. A free brekkie down at Discovery Park. If you have a look at greenbusinesshub.eco, the website, and on the community page, you'll find a booking link for that. On Friday, also down at Discovery Park, they're going to be hosting an International Women's Day event. They're going to be handing out lots of awards to fabulous female entrepreneurs. But there's also going to be a number of presentations all around women in business as well. So if you'd like to come along to that, again, do a search for Discovery Park and have a look at their events page. I'm sure that they'd love to see you. I think it's time we introduce our guests. So we've got a really fascinating, and we were talking off air about this, fascinating few months ahead of us in terms of a budget, crucially. On Wednesday this week, we've got an election that we know is coming at some point in the second half of this year. And we've also got an economy that has tipped into recession during the last quarter. So we have a very finance and budget themed show today with our special guests in the studio, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves. To my right, we have
Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring.
Adrian, lovely to have you with us today. Thank and you. To my left,
Hi, Martin, it's Simon Bailey. I'm a partner for Burgess Hodgson Accountants based in Canterbury.
Fabulous. Great to have you both in the studio today. I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of music. It is International Women's Day on Friday, so I have sacrificed my usual 80s and 90s playlist in favour of some real female power ballads this week. And I think we're going to kick off with Kylie. So we're going to be right back after this.
County Square Shopping Centre is located at the heart of Ashford's town centre, just a short walk from Ashford International Train Station. With over 40 stores and open 7 days a week, you'll find fashion, jewellery, toys and sporting goods all under one roof. If you want to take a break away from shopping or meet a friend for a catch-up, why not do it over a coffee or a bite to eat in one of their lovely eateries? The centre regularly offers free school holiday events for kids, as well as entertainment throughout the year. To find out more, visit their website at countysquareshoppingcentre.com and on Facebook at County Square Shopping Centre. County Square. Great brands, local to you.
CC Print Services are a local Ashford business, and the team have been trusted by local, national and multinational businesses to provide quality printing for more than 35 years.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Apologies for the slight technical glitch there with our system today. It doesn't seem to want to play any of our music, so we're going to have a little talky segment instead. I hope you enjoyed the advertising that you might have just been listening to over and over again. As we were saying before the break, on a more serious note, we've got two super guests in the studio with us today. We have Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency, and we also have Simon Bailey from Burgess Hodgson's Accountants. Guys, welcome to the studio today.
Hi.
Adrian, what I'd like to do, if we can please, is start with you.
Yeah, certainly.
Just give us a little bit of an overview in terms of the variety of your work, what you get involved with, what you're here to do ultimately as an insolvency and restructuring practitioner.
Of course, yes. As you said, I'm an insolvency practitioner. I'm based in Maidstone. Have been for a number of years. I mainly deal with corporate recovery, so that entails liquidations, administrations. But we also like to get involved in rescue procedures as well, which are administrations and CVAs. I'd just like to actually take this opportunity just to start with the dreaded stats, which I won't bore the viewers for too long. But the February stats have just landed. January was much the same as December in terms of like insolvency numbers, but administrations, there were 176 administrations in February, which is the highest monthly number since July 2020, and there were 1,799 English creditor voluntary liquidations compared to 1,277 in January. And as you'd expect at this time of year, with solvent winding ups, as we head towards the end of the tax years, there were 648 member voluntary winding ups as compared to 552 in January. And I'm sure we may touch on property as well. In terms of Law of Property Act receiverships, there were 67 of those last month in February, as opposed to 58 in January. So as we can see, the picture paints a sort of like another challenging period coming up, as we'd expect, I'm sure we'll get into for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, and Simon, do come in here as well, because we have got this backdrop of the final quarter of 2023, effectively sending us into what's being described as a sort of shallow or mild kind of recession. We know that high interest rates have had an effect across lots of different business sectors, including, for example, house building and construction. So I think it's fair to say at the beginning of this year, we're seeing a kind of slightly lower order book there in terms of work that's going through. But we're also at the end of the tax year, aren't we? And we've got a budget this week as well. So all these things, I guess, you know, have an effect.
Yeah, I think there's also going to be some element of fallout from COVID. I think COVID was a very unusual time. Mm. Normal recessions, I think people run into problems a lot earlier. There was a lot of support given out during that period. I wonder if maybe, Adrian, you're seeing some of those businesses that might have fallen by the wayside a bit earlier, if we're starting to see the real impact of COVID coming through now.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's been a, you know, obviously the amount of loans that were given to come in, the government support, etc. We are beginning to see, well, not beginning, since the last year or two, we're seeing good companies, but they're being held back or being drawn down with, or dragged down, should I say, with COVID loans, and they're struggling to grow because they're trying to repay those loans.
Mm-hmm. And there's this phenomenon called the zombie company out there as well, now, isn't there? So businesses that are really just
limping on,
trading to kind of pay their cash flow commitments each month, but not actually going anywhere.
No, there's not going any prospects of real growth. And we had this. We had this in the last recession back in 2009, 10, 11, the rise of the zombie companies, and we've kind of like we've got that again, and I've seen quite a lot of them. Businesses that may have taken advice, say, a year ago are just coming now to us, but obviously carrying heavy debt, not much by way of assets. And there are other aspects that we have to deal with, like overdrawn loan accounts, director loan accounts, and that sort of thing.
Okay, brilliant. Well, look, I think that sets the scene. I'm going to have another attempt to play some music, and when we come back, perhaps we'll get into some of the finer detail, if you like, in terms of where you come in, Adrian, and how you can help businesses.
Okay.
So do stay with us, and we'll be right back, hopefully, after Beyonce.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Well, we're back again. It doesn't look like we're going to have any music today on the show, so I'm really sorry to...
Don't ask us to sing, though, will you?
All those fabulous female artists that we were hoping to be able to play on the show today. We're not going to be able to play. For some reason, we've got a technical hitch, and we're just not going to be able to do that. But... in the absence of that, we have still got our two fabulous studio guests, obviously. We have Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency, and we have Simon Bailey from Burgess Hodgson Accountants, based over in Canterbury. So, Adrian, a couple of minutes ago, we were just talking about the fact that, you know, we are seeing an upward tick in terms of insolvencies. We were talking about the fact that, you know, it's a funny time of year.
Mm.
We're coming towards the end of a tax year. We've got the backdrop, as Simon was talking about, in terms of a shallow recession that we entered at the end of last year. What I'd like to understand is, how do you help businesses that perhaps find themselves in a tricky situation in terms of liquidity, for example, within the business?
Yeah,
is it a case of, you know, you can't continue trading, we need to shut down, or actually... is there often another kind of way through that?
Yeah, that's a good point. We always try to look at on the positive side, and liquidation and advising to cease trade as a last resort. If we can see there's a viable business there but might be carrying, you know, a bit of debt, you know, that's holding them back, then there are options for the directors. It doesn't have to be a formal insolvency, or even a formal rescue, whether it's a company voluntary arrangement or administration. You know, we have, like in Opus, we have the skill sector to help with turnaround and restructuring. That is through refinancing, and also to look at businesses that may be underperforming, that don't need any insolvency advice, but maybe just to look at other ways to actually try and boost business, but to try and manage the debt at the same time.
Yeah. So what are some of the kind of most common and easily kind of fixable problems that you find in those instances?
Yeah.
I guess ultimately everything comes down to cash flow.
Absolutely.
It's the ability of the business to pay its monthly commitments in terms of salaries, creditors in the form of suppliers, for example.
Yep.
Is it as simple as saying, do you know what, we might be able to just extend, you know, payment terms because your customers tend to pay
absolutely,
you on this
day,
but you've got all these outgoings on that day. Give me some examples.
Yeah, cash flow is actually key. And also getting paid. I mean, you'd be shocked we see debtor ledgers, you know, that are outstanding and they're not collecting out quick enough. Mm. You know, I think there's this kind of like expectation that people will pay, but sometimes it's those that shout the loudest, you know, that get paid. And we often see businesses that are holding so much debt on their debtor's ledger, and also they've got like lots of stock as well, which is not doing anything. You know, they can't shift it, etc. So we sort of look at like maybe the pricing, that sort of thing, and that's when we can look at obviously any refinancing, especially if they've got some borrowing at the moment, which they're paying a lot of money for.
Mm. And in terms of the director's obligations in instances like this, if I'm assuming that If you know that you're actually trading and you're insolvent, you actually have an obligation to put your hand up and report.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, there is obviously protection out there for creditors, and one of them is the director disqualification, which in any insolvency, insolvency practitioners, liquidators, administrators have a duty to report to the insolvency service on the conduct of the directors and the financial affairs of the company. Mm. And one of those, as you just touched on, is trading with the knowledge of insolvency, which we do receive quite a lot of like accusations of when we deal with these insolvencies.
Mm, absolutely. Okay, so in that instance, who do I go to? Do I turn to my accountant and then he will advise me?
Yeah.
Or do I come directly?
I mean, we get
like
a lot of referrals from accountants. We get a lot of like recommendations. We get a lot of direct contacts, or direct inquiries, and also from lawyers. and lenders as well. Mm. So the whole variety. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to get that message out, you know, that so we've been beating the drum for quite some time now, you know, that there is help out there. Yeah. You know, you just got to ask.
Yeah. And you're not the Grim Reaper.
No, definitely not.
I think that's really important. Certainly in our industry, I think there's a an idea that we're only going to hand over businesses that where it's too late.
Yes, and that's right.
Yeah, the options are limited. Whereas we will proactively recommend that, you know, clients and directors will speak to insolvency practitioners at an early stage. Sometimes it just gives them a bit of comfort that actually what they're doing at that present time is okay. They're still trading within the rules.
Yeah.
And it opens up that channel so they can get good advice, and I'm sure it opens up more options for Adrian to be able to give it might be stretching it out. Yeah. It might give them time for a rescue and put things in place. So I think we will often make a much earlier contact than I think people sometimes think.
And the key thing here, I guess, is always, act now rather than later.
Yes.
Because the sooner you kind of put these wheels in motion, the more opportunities there are to
more options. Yeah, absolutely.
Restructure,
right.
Turn around.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay.
And as Adrian said, when you dive into the finances, there are ups. Sometimes a fresh pair of eyes opens up a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And we'll work alongside insolvency practitioners in terms of producing cash flow forecasts and financials to try and see, hopefully, pull it back.
Yep.
And then we can both support depending on which
direction
you
want. Absolutely
right. And the other great thing about you, Adrian, is of course you're incredibly well connected.
Well,
so,
I mean,
you know, you'll know a man.
Unlike accountants, our clients are not reoccurring, so they have a portfolio, but we don't have that. Once we finish a job, you know, we got to find the next one. Of course, we do build up a portfolio.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for accountants, you know, when they have to refer that. 9 times out of 10 is a lost client, although, you know, there could be a rescue there that would be able to retain the client. But generally speaking, it's a lost client. But for us, it's something gained. But we're going to keep going, and that's why we need to like meet lots and lots of people, professionals, etc., to say this is what we can do.
Yeah, fabulous. Okay, good. Right, look, I'm going to have another go at playing Beyonce this time with Halo. I have no idea if she's going to play, if she's going to turn up. I mean, they're like this, aren't they? These female diva stars.
Yeah.
You know, we had it with Kylie.
Yeah.
She was out late for the Brits, I think.
That's
the other
right.
Night.
Yeah, she got the global award
today. And now we've got Beyonce, and then she's got even more of a fearsome reputation for flying in 3 hours late with a hubby, obviously, Jay-Z. So anyway, here we go. We're going to have another go at that, and hopefully we'll see you after a bit of music.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, clearly, Beyonce has decided not to show up. I'm sure she'll be around at some point later, but for whatever reason, I can't get her to perform right now. So so you're going to have to stay with us for a bit more chat. And I think what we should do now, really, is bring in Simon. Simon Bailey, who is a partner at Burgess Hodgson Accountants. Simon, lovely to have you with us today. I know this is your first time on the
thanks for having me.
On the radio, and it's all gone a bit Pete Tong with the music, but there we go. Simon, give us a little flavour for what it's like to be a busy partner in a mid-size accountancy firm. What does your kind of day job look like in the firm?
Yeah, I think it's very different to what people think. It's challenging and varied are two words that come to mind. We obviously deal with lots of the compliance services. So, you know, people and businesses out there need their accounts, need their payroll done, bookkeeping support, and their sort of tax returns filed on time. And there's a lot of boxes to tick and you know, regulations to meet. So we help with all of that, take away that sort of burden of administration. But beyond that, we like to kind of get really involved with our clients almost on a day-to-day basis if we can. You know, we want to be seen as part of their finance solution, you know, part of their board, and that's where we think we can make, you know, the real difference.
Yeah.
I think rather than reporting on historic accounts, which you've got to do, if we can be involved with, you know, management accounts and sort of more day-to-day stuff, then we can give them sort of more up-to-date information, allow them to take sort of decisions earlier and react quicker, especially in times like we've seen in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And in the current economy, so it's harder to make decisions if you don't know what your last year looks like.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there's about 5.5 million private sector businesses in the UK, and I think it's something like 97% of them employ less than 10 people. And actually, I think it's about 95% of them don't employ anybody. So when we talk about, you know, management accounts and sitting down with our accountant, I guess the reality for most small business owners is they do it once a year. Yep. When they need a set of compliance accounts creating, they need to be filed with Companies House, there's a tax return that needs to go in, but actually that's the only time I ever see my accountant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and for some people, they do have quite a good grasp of what their business looks like, and they just need to, you know, their sort of trading from one year to the next is going to be fairly similar. But for a lot of people, it's going to be, you know, a case of if you're sort of standing still, you're probably going backwards.
Right.
Especially with sort of competition out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to give them information they can use in real time and really add value. We also want to be in a position where we're telling them about things coming over the horizon and how it might affect their business. You know, we don't really want to be approached by our clients saying, I've heard this from a, you know, someone down the pub, or you know, someone else at a networking event. You know, we want to be at that forefront. That gives them confidence in our advice and allows them to focus on what they do best, which isn't necessarily the sort of books and records and the facts and figures in the background. So
obviously we can't mention specific clients, but what is the kind of the overriding advice that you're offering clients at the moment in terms of, look, you know, we've got an economy that's flatlined. We've got still historically high, for the last 10 years at least, interest rates. You know, we've got inflationary pressure probably still in the supply chain. We might have labour supply problems because we know we've got 4 million people that have decided not to come back to work for whatever reason. Where are you at the moment in terms of, you know, the advice that you're offering to clients perhaps that might want to grow, seek out new markets, for example?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, really. It really does depend on what they're trying to do. A lot of the times we try and see, you know, where do they want to see themselves in 5-10 years' time, and we try and work backwards from there. I think that really is what drives it. If they're looking to grow, then it could be all about your investment in the future. You mentioned recruitment. Most sectors have been struggling to not just retain the key staff they've got, but take on board. Some people are finding that, you know, they're able to sort of, you know, things are picking up, they're generating new sales, but they're just struggling to sort of service it with the personnel
that
they can bring in. So that's really key. So it's understanding where they want to be. We obviously help plan around that. There's obviously tax, you know, implications depending on what they're trying to achieve, and we're there to make that sort of as efficient as possible. But and that it's knowing where you are, knowing where you want to be. We're trying to sort of tie the two together, really.
So presumably at the moment, you know, revisiting the business plan, sitting down with the board, you know, understanding, well, you know, this is where we thought we'd be this time last year, this is actually the reality. All of that is good discipline, I'm assuming, is it?
Yes, yeah. And you can't make good decisions without knowing all that stuff. So
yeah.
But it is challenging, and there's a lot of uncertainty out there. You know, in some of the, you know, the autumn statements, some of the budgets, they are announcing things a number of years in advance. So there are some big changes that we're, you know, right on the brink of. I think we've had Making Tax Digital that's been coming in the last few years in phases. I think the next step of that is there's something called change of basis periods, which we could perhaps talk about a bit more later. But that's going to really affect a lot of people out there. And I think there's a lot of people out there that don't necessarily know what that impact is going to be. But it's we're on the cusp of it. And that's going to change the way people are going to pay tax, or what periods they're reporting to. You know, I think if you're preparing your tax return next January with a week to go, you could be in for a shock. I think this year, I think our message is get your records and books in order quickly. You know, speak to your accountant, your advisor, get your, you know, particularly if you're a sole trader or in a partnership, get your accounts prepared nice and early so you can see it coming. There are, you know, mitigations in place from the government.
But it seems to be the last thing that sole traders and directors do, isn't it? Leave to the last minute, like, you know, and come in with a bag of receipts or something like that.
So yeah, it still happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it did happen, yeah.
But that's really interesting because, you know, what sort of impact has, I mean, making tax digital was the big thing a few years ago. Has that made this whole process easier, more transparent for businesses or worse?
I think when we eventually arrive at the point they want us to get to, I think it's obviously going to be a good thing. I think the journey's difficult, not just from the businesses and people out there, but the government as well. You'll see a number of times over the last few years they've had to push back key deadlines where they're trying to implement this. Already now, if you file VAT returns, you've got to be doing it through some kind of digital software. Yeah. That's step one. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately their goal is to have everyone reporting everything digitally on a quarterly basis.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's where they want to be. So it will start with, you know, rental portfolios. It will move on to businesses and corporation tax. Yeah. They can't really do that until everyone's reporting on a tax year basis. Yes. And that's where we are this year. So by next January, people will be paying tax all the way up to March 24, regardless of what period their accounts are prepared to. Mm. For some people, that's going to mean they might be paying almost, it will feel like almost 2 years worth of tax in one go. Yes. It's going to be a challenge. And you mentioned cash flow is king. This is going to have a serious impact on most businesses out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their eye on the quarterly VAT return, don't they? I mean, we had one, I think, that was due in February. So, we had a bit of grace after Christmas, but not much. And then, of course, we're planning for the next one. And I guess, you know, one of the problems is, businesses don't account for that properly within their cash flow. And so, and I believe HMRC now are one of the kind of first creditors in line.
Well,
for
they got preferential status since December 2020. But actually, it's funny to say that. I was going to ask Armin about HMRC. We have our own, obviously, we have our own relationship with them in terms of what we do. But obviously, I think there was a recent stat that came out that they are kind of at the all-time low in terms of, like, customer response, time spent on the phone, etc. I mean, we're seeing an improvement, but we really have to push it from our RPBs into the Parliament, etc. So I'm hoping, in the next few years, that we'll see a big improvement in HMRC responses.
Yeah, I think they've been through a recent recruitment drive.
But
we can probably tell you multiple stories about how long we're on hold for certain departments. And it really does depend on what you're trying to achieve. Some areas, some departments are quite responsive.
Yeah, yeah.
There are other areas where, you know, and it doesn't look great on us, but you're telling the client, we've sent this letter in. They've said they will read it at some point in the next 12 months. That's not helpful if we're asking the clients to react quickly in these sort of uncertain times. So we're definitely seeing that from our point of view. Hopefully it will improve.
Well, look, I've teed up a bit more music. It's not from
we're not
one
singing,
of our,
you know that, didn't you?
Not from one of our female megastar divas that we were hoping to listen to. It's from Elton John. So I'm hoping we're going to kind of break this string of bad luck that we've been in today, and we're going to hear from Elton. So do stay with us, and hopefully we'll be back straight after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Hello, everybody. We're back, and you've managed to listen to some music, which is fabulous. So apologies for our earlier technical glitch. We've had to ditch the divas. And we've gone back to some tried and tested. So we had a bit of Elton John, Blue Eyes, what's not to like about that. And, of course, the brilliant Eric Clapton. Adrian, we were just talking about that album, August
yeah.
which I think came out in the late 80s, didn't it?
I say, yeah. I remember it, yeah. 80s? Yeah, I think
cracking,
that sounds about
incredible
right, yeah.
album. So you got the chance on Spotify or wherever brilliant. Else you listen to your music, look that one up. Amazing album.
Yeah.
But we're back. We've got another chunk of the show to bring you today. With our fabulous guests Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency and Simon Bailey from Burgess Hodgson Accountants. Simon, what I'd like to do now, if we can, is really put you on the spot.
Ask me. Yeah, it's not me.
Again, he says. And ask you to look into your crystal ball and give us some thoughts, shall we say, in terms of what you think might come out of this week's budget. Well, let's mention first of all that you've got a webinar on Thursday, haven't you, I believe, to to run businesses through everything that's happened in the budget. Yeah. So give us the information on that if you can.
So, yeah, on Thursday morning, 10 until 10:45, we're doing a kind of a live webinar where we'll have a panel of experts from within the firm. We would have obviously tuned into the budget and poured through some of the detail. We try not to just regurgitate what's been seen on the news and part of the budget. We're trying to think about what it really means to the clients. So it's a bit more nuanced and what they should be thinking about. Yeah, we obviously we're guided by what comes out. The autumn statement last year wasn't terribly interesting, but there are a few bits and pieces coming out.
So that doesn't give you long, does it? So
it doesn't give us long to
a late night in the office, I'm assuming.
It's fairly dynamic, and people are welcome to obviously tune in, type in questions. There's a sort of Q&A sort of access part, so people, hopefully it's an interactive session because then the listeners are going to get the most out of it. But obviously we'll have our own sort of pre-prepared thoughts. Yeah.
So we were all tuned into the amazing Laura Koonsberg yesterday morning, Sunday, 9 o'clock in the morning. We've got up early to, because you can't miss Laura, especially when she has the Chancellor on, Jeremy Hunt. There wasn't an awful lot that he was giving away yesterday. There were calls from the hospitality industry to support that. There's been calls, I think, today from the British Chambers of Commerce to look at business rates, VAT thresholds, national insurance is never kind of far out of the headlines. But I didn't get the impression from the Chancellor that there was an awful lot of wiggle room around headline rates of taxation, Simon.
No, I think he'd like to do something just to follow up on the national insurance cut in January. Mm. I think you're right. I think he's pretty much handcuffed to their own rules that they've set. Mm. I think they're worried they might look weak if they break them, especially leading up to an election. I think he's hinted that there might be some cuts, whether that will be national insurance again. There's rumours that there might be a small cut in the basic rate of tax, which will obviously be sort of popular amongst most people. Mm. I think the backdrop was that he was hoping that if the economy was growing by this point of view, that's how he was going to be able to fund it and still sort of keep within the guidelines, within his rules. But that's not happened. No. He's fairly hamstrung. Yeah. I think if there's going to be any giveaways, it's going to be a case of being given with one hand and taken away with the other.
Yeah.
I don't know how overt the tax rises are going to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a national living wage increase kicking in April. That's going up £1 and 2 pence, 10.42 to 11.44, I believe. But again, people are just going to be paying more tax on that ultimately, unless he increases the tax thresholds.
Yes, one thing that's been a bit unusual in the last sort of 5-10 years, budgets used to be kind of an annual announcement. There's been in the last 5-10 years a lot of sort of announcements going forward a number of years. So it does give us some certainty to help plan with clients. Mm. Thresholds, for example, are frozen until 2028, which gives you certainty, but it also means with inflation and wage rises, you're right, it's effectively a sort of a stealth tax, which it won't be made public, but it is there, and that's going to be partly how it's going to be funding.
Yeah. I wonder how much pressure he's going to be under with, the backdrop of an election looming, Rishi kind of cracking the whip in the background say, look, we need to give the country something, otherwise we haven't got a hope in hell of getting re-elected.
Yeah, I'm nervous it won't be too much good news for, companies. Obviously, people can vote, companies can't.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we're going to see... very much it's going to be exciting in that realm. They're already now in a much higher tax bracket. We had the increase to corporation tax around 6%, slightly higher for some businesses. That's kicked in April 23. The impact of that is only really going to be felt as people start to sort of finalise their accounts, their accounts now. So
we get we also get the same time the report from the Office for Budget Responsibility, don't we? That comes out in conjunction with the Chancellor's statement. So it'd be interesting to see what they've got to say.
These are like the handcuffs, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
The Chancellor has to wear, because as soon as he comes out and says anything, they come out and say, how are you going to pay for that?
Exactly. I was just thinking.
Which was Liz Truss's down.
Well, I was just thinking that as well,
Kwasi Kwarteng, who fell on his sword after a very brief political career and is now retired. But, so, I mean, There's so little wiggle room. Yeah. And of course, every, you know, they're so under the spotlight now. I mean, let's kind of turn back the clock 20 years. You know, the budget used to be, we're gonna raise the tax on beer by a penny, yeah. And it's gonna be 5p on a packet of fags. You know, now it's just so much more complicated.
Do you think there'll be any help for the hospitality in terms of a tax on alcohol, any reduction there? Because they talk about the business rates, as you said, there's relief there, but it doesn't seem to be going far enough, does it? A lot of pubs closing at an alarming rate.
A lot of the time, the good news tends to be we're going to freeze it, and that's very good news. Whereas I think, going back to COVID, I think a lot of, we were talking about before, about a lot of businesses being given the funding to sort of, you know, survive, adapt, evolve. We mustn't forget hospitality sector went through a torrid time. There was very little that really could be done to help them.
That's right.
I think they need it coming out this side. Yeah, absolutely.
So Rocco Forte was on Laura's show yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
40 hotels, obviously, you know, fabulously successful business over the decades. Talking about the fact that he, in Browns, I think, which is one of their hotels in London, they pay their chambermaids £30,000 a year. And they can't get staff.
Wow.
So, and I think it's always been a traditional problem. It's hospitality, and a bit like construction, I think, in many ways. It's just seen as one of those kind of industries that just doesn't, you know, float my boat, you know, in terms of a career. It's desperately sad.
Yeah, I think recruitment's a struggle across multiple sectors. But I think, they do need something more than just, rates being frozen.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a particularly
we might get one or two surprises. It always tends to be a little surprise or two.
Okay, well, look, I have got a bit more music lined up. It is a fabulous female artist, so I hope I haven't jinxed it. But she's with a band, so it's Stevie Nicks headlining on this song with Fleetwood Mac. So brilliant. I've got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping it's going to play, and we're going to see you on the other side of this. Join us in a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everybody. That was the wonderful Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. Gold Dust Woman. So we did manage to get a female artist on the show today. I won't tell you who else we had lined up. Mariah Carey, probably the biggest diva of all. She definitely wouldn't have turned up today, but nevertheless, we were delighted to bring you that from Fleetwood Mac. We've had two super guests in the studio today. We've been talking about the budget. We've been talking about insolvency. We've been talking about how businesses can help themselves. Simon's been looking into his crystal ball for Wednesday. Simon, give us a shout out for how we can register for your budget webinar on Thursday.
Thanks, Martin. Easiest way, go direct to our website, www.burgesshoshen.co.uk. There's a link on there to our sort of the budget update. They can sign up through there. There's also our contact form as well. If people want to get in touch generally, there's multiple ways to get in touch with the firm or any one of the partners. So,
fabulous. Yeah. Thank you for that. Adrian, how can we talk to you?
Certainly, yeah.
Let's mention it. You do a free business stress test for businesses that are...
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, you can go onto our website, www.opusllp.com, restructuring forward insolvency, and you'll find a whole range of services that we provide in relation to restructuring, insolvency and turnaround. And obviously you can email me on adrian.dante@opusllp.com. Of course, we're on LinkedIn as well, and we do post quite a number of good articles that are interesting in terms of business turnaround, and early warning signs, and knowing when to stop trading and knowing when to get advice.
It's a brilliant newsletter, actually. I subscribe to that, so
thank you.
Thanks for mentioning that. And if I want to have an hour with you as a business owner, or perhaps a board of directors, our accountants have advised us to speak to an expert like
absolutely.
You. You're happy to go in and do that.
Yeah, free of charge for the first for an hour, and then take from there.
Fabulous. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today. My apologies to everybody listening for the technical faults with our female artists who were lined up today. But we did manage to get another a couple of songs, and I've got another one that I'm going to play in a minute from Florence and the Machine, another fabulous female artist. We're going to be back with you in 2 weeks' time when we're going to have a startup show.
Awesome.
So it'll be interesting to see what's happened on your webinar on Thursday. Simon, and whether or not actually we think there's going to be an economy that's conducive to starting up a business going forward. So that's going to be fascinating. Yeah, so we'll have Let's Do Business Group and one of their female startup entrepreneurs from the Herbiz program with us in 2 weeks' time. So
that'd be good.
We look forward to bringing that to you then.
Yeah, thank you, Martin.
For thank now, you. Thank you so much to our studio guests, you, Adrian Simon. And yeah. Simon.
Cheers.
Thank you to our listener. Hopefully there's still one of you out there. And we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now.